Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
And we've been teaching about the series on Navigate. Say Navigate. Subtopic is how to successfully journey through life and these times. We're on the fifth part now of that series. Today I want to talk to you about and preach and teach about things, 10 things you can do. Say 10 things I can do. There's more than 10. I'm going to give you 10 today. Our text today, many of them, but the main text will be from Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am so excited about the fact that in this life, we're not left alone. We're not left to our own devices. We're not left to figure things out. Now, we have things to figure out, but we're not alone. We have help in working through the things that God wants us to learn and know. And as we get to the series, we've gone through different parts of it. In part two, we talked about self-care. That's really the first message in the series after introducing it because, you know, think about this. If the ship is not ready to sail, if the ship has problems with the hull, if the motor's not right, the sail's not good, the ship can't navigate if the ship is not whole. So it's important that as we are people of purpose and passion, don't neglect the ship. Don't neglect yourself. Because if you're not ready, you can't go. If you're not healthy, you can't do anything. And so self-care has become, in COVID, it's taught us the importance of self-care, among other things. So that's important. Now, navigation requires fixed points. I think you know this, in your car and your phone, you have GPS, but GPS needs something in space, satellites that are sitting there in a geosynchronous orbit. They don't move. Well, they're moving, but they stay in the same position as far as you know. The point is, if you know where the satellites are and the device knows where they are, then it can figure out where you are. So when you go from A to B, then the computer figures out, based on fixed coordinates, how to get there. So there's three fixed coordinates in life. That is, first of all, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a fixed point. Amen? Sound like it, doesn't it? The same? Changing? No, the same. Second is God's Word. The Bible doesn't change. It's a fixed point. What's said in the Bible's been there for 2,000 years and more. And so that whatever God is saying, you can trust it. You can rely on it. And third fixed point is objective truth and facts. Now, this sometimes escapes us as believers. We think it's all about what the Bible said, what the Holy Spirit said. It is about that. But it's also about what's true in life. I mean, you know, we don't mess around, try to act like I can go up in a high place and jump off and not get hurt, because gravity is objective truth. And so natural science, the fact that we know the seasons are changing, we know how things work sometime in the world of science, there are things that just, now there's theoretical stuff, but there really is science that can be trusted day in and day out. And so that's why we've had people who haven't navigated well. And in the midst of this COVID epidemic, some have suffered and died, not because God wasn't able, not because Jesus Christ was not the same, not because the Bible changed, but they didn't respect the power of natural science and objective truth. So don't be no fool, we used to say. You know what I'm saying? You know, God gave you common sense, we used to say. I don't hear that anymore. because folk think whatever I think is the way it is. No, objective means outside of you. Subjective is how you feel about it. So how you feel about something, you know, is good for you to feel, but it may not amount to anything because the objective truth is different than what you feel. So sometimes we must learn, all the time we must learn to respect objective truth, all right? So that's my three points we talked about from day one in this series. Again, we're talking about 10 things that we can do. Say 10 things.
10 things
I can do. Now write these down if you want to, and maybe think about when I finish here what you would add to this list. Because in life, we sometimes become burdened, we become vexed, we become confused. Sometimes look like we just can't figure out up from down, right from left. I'm sure that Nicole, in her journey through her situation, had days. I know you had days, Nicole, we talked about it. Days of just really, really having difficult days, put it like that. I mean, one after another. Sometimes when you are having difficulty in life, day after day after day, you start thinking, this is my life now. Don't think that. That's not your life. There's no commentary in your life. It is a season. Say season.
Season.
And say this, seasons come and seasons go.
Seasons come.
Minister Sean said fall is the best time of the year. It would be for me except for what follows, you know. I love fall. I just can't get my mind around what's coming after that, you know. But what she said is correct. And winter is winter days. We have had bad days in a row often in winter. COVID has brought us bad days. But please don't take the circumstances as a commentary on your life, on your purpose. Because nothing has changed God's mind.
Amen.
Say, nothing has changed God's mind.
Amen.
So today I want to encourage you in helping you think that way and giving you 10 things you can do to help you manage, help manage and other people manage their situations. All right, first of all, let me share this with you. Number one, the first thing you can do is list your accomplishments. Say, list my accomplishments. Let me say this. I'm giving you some things I learned from an article I read in Forbes magazine. I put the link in my podcast notes. And I just, you know, was looking at some materials. You know, there's wisdom in this world for us, y'all. I mean, God's wisdom is the best, God's word, but there's things out here. That's why you went to school. You went to school to get the world's wisdom because you live in the world.
Amen.
So first of all, list your accomplishments. Philemon verse 6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. That's good, isn't it? Something Paul said to Philemon. Because he was a slave, he was a slave as an indentured servant, not an American-style slave. It's a way big difference. When the Bible says slave, it's not talking about American-style slavery. But then he was free and was learning how to navigate his new life. But I like this, where Paul said to him that your faith becomes more effective when you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. Now, you know those days when you acknowledge every bad thing in you, in yourself. You've had those days where you bring up the whole list of bad stuff. What's wrong with me? What's my problem? You know what I'm saying? That thing. You know what I'm saying? So let's list the accomplishments. And you know what you've done in your life. You know, you and God can rejoice in what he's helped you do. It's not bragging talking to yourself. It's encourage yourself in the Lord. Because people are going to tell you what's wrong with you. They're going to tell you what they don't like about you. And then worse, you'll back that up and you'll talk about yourself. That's how bad we get. So then I like this. List your accomplishments. Number two in our list is reframe the situation. Reframe it. Now, we taught a lesson about framing. Now, this is our text for today, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All right. Now, let's talk about this for a minute. We did a lesson series dealing with the first of the year, talking about, the change and transition coming out of the old year to the new year. And so we talked about reframing. Now, listen, y'all, a frame, we have in our houses, we have frames. We put what's important to us in a frame. We put our family pictures in the frame, vacation pictures, our degrees and things. Whatever's important to us goes in a what? A frame. You frame it up. Well, you know, you actually frame things in your mind. For example, we talked about in that series how that people frame the inner city as full of bad people. Right? Homeless, fatherless children and bad people, bad black people and stuff. And so, but my frame for in the city is all the best things are in the city. All the best things. We got the worst and the best. See, so what you choose to look at is your prerogative. We see it all the time, even to the point where if something good happens, somebody would take a bad frame of it anyway. Any positive development, somebody somewhere will create some negative frame around it. So I'm telling you, it's important to reframe your situation. That what you're facing and dealing with in your life, you know what's bad, you know what hurts in that. But there is in your life, in the middle of every tough and bad place, you can frame up something good. Sometimes, I'm a photographer, you know that. I take photo walks. And I've even had students do this. We've had students in our media camp, young people, take them out to walk, you know, right down the street around the corner here. And we teach them how to frame. So then we've had kids come back where we had a big dumpster behind us, and there was trash behind the dumpster, but somebody framed up a wild flower. They framed a picture that excluded the dumpster, right? Didn't see the trash. All the viewers could see was what the photographer gave you, that she framed the flower. And so you would never know she was standing near a dumpster, near trash, right? So it's important to frame your circumstances and choose what to focus on. You decide what to look at. Even when somebody is talking to you and sharing with you, help them refocus. All right, let me go on. That to me is a big one, because in photography, focus is so key and framing is the key. Sometimes people take a picture of somebody, you know, standing, and then behind them is something ridiculous, you know, behind their head. They should have moved, changed the frame, move the person, change the frame, so all we see is the person and not the distractions behind them. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I'm going to read to you from the article about this point, reframe. A critical step in navigating a crisis is reframing the situation. A characteristic of resilience, reframing allows for a change in point of view on any situation. Facts remain the same, but there's a deliberate shift in perspective and language. Y'all getting that? The facts don't change. We're not denying the thing is bad. What we're doing is we are deliberately shifting our perspective and language. Say language. And he says, this changes the emotional tone and brings clarity during decision-making by replacing energy-stealing thoughts with responsible and restorative thoughts. Boy, sometimes we just burn ourselves up energy-wise. Negative thoughts just burn us down and drain us. So this is good. So say, I will reframe my situation in Jesus' name. All right, the next one, number three, is focus on past wins, right? Focus on past wins. Here's a good scripture, 1 Samuel 17:36 says, this is what David said. Now, when David faced Goliath, David was a small guy, a small man. not some big old muscular, manly looking man. He was a small dude, okay? And so because of his stature, people underestimated him. But David had spent all that time raising and tending for sheep. And he said this, "Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of a living God." David, you know, we've all known really little guys who were little fierce little guys. You know, and some guys who are small got to be fierce to get through the neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? And some guys just talk big, can't do anything, so it's two kinds. But David was the kind of guy, David could talk big and David could deliver. But he said this, he said, my perspective is this. The way I see it is this. I killed a lion and I killed a bear. And you're next. Focus on the past wins. And see, while David was out there protecting those sheep, those things happened. He had to literally protect the sheep from predator animals coming to kill. So that's a good way to think as well. Now, I'm going to read this from this article. So shift your focus to your past wins, regardless of if they're business or personal. There will be many things from your life you are grateful for once you have renewed confidence and learn to trust yourself again. Amen. So it's good to look back and reflect. That's exactly what David did. He had two major past wins that helped him face the current obstacle. All right, number four. This may be difficult, but it's necessary. Things that we can do. Face your weakness. Say, face my weakness. Look what Paul did. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul said, God, then when Paul asked for God to help him, what God said was, "My grace is sufficient for you." It wasn't God saying no. God was saying yes. And the means was grace. He said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Then Paul said, "Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure." He's talking crazy talk now. "I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now, this is pretty heavy. It's important to get a hold to it, because Paul embraced weakness, not by saying I am weak, but by saying, when I take a weakness and give it to God, and when God gets through adding grace to me in my weakness, it becomes a strength. Paul literally said that God said, "My strength," God said to Paul, "my strength is made perfect in your weakness." So when you give a weakness to God, you give God an opportunity to exchange that, to teach you something, to help you through it. So we don't say we embrace to say, "I'm weak, I'm weak." No, I embrace I have a weakness for the sole purpose of giving it to God so God can exchange that and give me his strength. So then when Paul understood that, he started talking crazy talk. Stuff like, that's what he said. He said, "Therefore, I will gladly now, I'll boast in my infirmities." He said, "In my reproaches, in my needs, in my persecutions, in my distresses." Who talks like this? Who says that I embrace that stuff now when it comes? Only because I know that whenever I am weak, I am strong. Say it. When I am weak, then I'm strong. And the way, again, of framing it, the frame is, I'm taking the weakness and I'm giving it to God so he can give me what I need in the moment. It's simple concept, isn't it? But as believers in Christ, it is an advantage we have that nobody else has without Jesus. Only Jesus does this. Because the more, listen, if you're actually weak, you can't do anything. If God didn't help us, we wouldn't overcome anything. If people didn't help us and God sent folk to help us, I mean, we could do a few things ourselves, but it's amazing what little things take us out. But how that if we give it to God, he says, then what Paul said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. All right. Number five. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Practice self-care. Mark 1:35, it says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Question, are you more valuable than birds?
Yes.
Obviously. So then be kind to yourself. Because the thing about the world beating us up is we sometimes accept that and kind of buy into that. It's funny how human nature is, you know. One of the things about abusive relationships that's so puzzling and demonic, really, is how that one person abuses another person, say a husband abusing a wife, and then she keeps going back to him. And then saying stuff like, well, you know, I deserved it. I mean, that's what happens sometimes. There's something goes wrong in people's thinking, you know. But now, be kind to yourself. And sometimes the only person who will be kind to yourself is you. And a few friends. Say a few friends. So then Jesus then had a practice of getting up in the morning before he went out to minister to thousands of people, before he got the disciples together. He by himself, before they all got up, he was gone out someplace where they couldn't find him, and he was praying. And prayer is a form of self-care, by the way. Amen. Prayer is being kind to yourself. You know, any kind of solitude is being kind to yourself. Think about that. We talked about last time about vacation, self-care. We're talking about taking vacation. Two kinds of vacations. One kind of vacation you come back from and need a vacation. Yeah. That's, you know, to hang out with people, run around, do stuff. That's okay, too. But the other kind of vacation is you go to rest. It's a restful vacation. Yourself, maybe one other person, two max, maybe three if you really can roll like that. But because you need to take care of yourself and seeing to other people's needs on vacation is no rest for you. Sometimes, no, I ain't going to say that. I was going to say that some people are just too needy to be around all the time. But I'm not going to say that, okay? All right. So you need to go by yourself someplace for a little while and re-energize and get with God and let God strengthen to you. Be kind to yourself. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about being conceited. I'm talking about just self-care. Number six. The sixth thing that we can do is control what you can and should. Control what you can and should. Most things are out of our control. We know this, don't we? Most we don't try to control people anyway. I'm talking about things, not people. You obviously can't control people. But we must control what we can control. So Genesis chapter 1, and this is from our message series talking about Imago Dei. Imago Dei is that Latin word that means the image of God. See, I am made in God's image. That means you can do things God, some things God does, because you're made in his image. So God said in the text, then God said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, the heavens, over the birds of the air, the livestock, over all the things in the earth, right? We know this from Genesis chapter 1. So God told Adam, have control of the garden I put you in. Well, there are things you should control. We control our thinking, control how we conduct ourselves in our home, how we handle our vehicles and possessions. We have a lot to control. And so we must control what we can, because life throws you so much you cannot control, until sometimes it's best just to focus what you can control. Now, in a crisis, let me say this about a crisis, when things come at you right and left and sideways and front and back, is you can control your response to those things. You can't make folks stop doing things, but you can get out of their presence, right? I mean, you can take yourself out of the equation. You can control, you know, how you respond. You know, sometimes, you know how it is, you have to. Now, if your business and work is, you know, people type business, you're managing people and all that, you can't control them. You can try to lead them. You can set things in place to train them. But at some point, you got to just kind of disconnect from that for a little bit, right? Pull back from that and get perspective. Now, there's a whole different lessons and techniques on dealing with people. I'm not saying that managers should not try to control the environment and manage people and have authority. But I'm talking about how it makes you feel. I'm talking about dealing with how you're beginning to not like life, right? Because of what you're going through. And so it's important to control what you can control to get back on top of your previous point, your self-care. Amen? All right, it's hard to phrase all this. I'll leave it at that. There's so much more to say. But look what Luke said. Chapter 10, I read it. Don't put a slide back up. Luke 10, 19 says, "Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you," Jesus said. The instructions were, I'm sending you out among all these folk and circumstances, and some people will be like serpents, some like scorpions. I mean, it'll be some dangerous situations out here. And I'm going to give you the wisdom to control what you can to protect yourself. Amen, somebody? Amen. You know, we see videos with people fooling with animals, you know, I mean, wild animals, and getting too close and fooling around and messing around, get bit, stuck, whatever, you know what I'm saying, gored through. Well, look, y'all, just control what you can. Step away. I mean, leave that animal alone. I got stuff in mind. I can show you some videos now. Well, you know what it is? Why you can't, that's a lion. It's an eagle. You know, an eagle has a wingspan up like 10 some odd feet. I mean, let's just control what you can. Get yourself out of the situation. I'll leave it alone. But I'm just making a point that sometimes we're into stuff that we could easily fix by getting away from it. Amen. Stepping back from it. Turn your back to it sometime. And then come back and address it later in a better frame of mind. All right, let me go on. Number, the seventh thing you can do is to shift your perspective away from the negative. I'm going to read from the article for this one. We think of crisis as inherently negative events, but they don't have to be. Instead of asking, why is this happening to me, ask, why is this happening for me? Instead of asking, why is this happening to me, ask, why is this happening for me? This immediately shifts our perspective and empowers us by taking life and career decisions as necessary stepping stones from which we either win or learn something. We make the path toward significantly intentional and purposeful. Yeah, that's good. By taking life and career decisions as necessary stepping stones from which we either win or learn something. I like that. We don't win or lose. We win or learn something. We don't ever lose. We make the path forward significantly intentional and purposeful. Now, these are just words. It's philosophy, what this is. But philosophy is good to have sometimes, y'all. I mean, philosophy is love of wisdom. How you think, how you look at something makes all the difference sometimes. You know, the old saying is, we want to take a trip, go shopping. We can't go. Why? Because the tank is half empty. Another child says, hey, we can go because the tank is half full. It's as simple as that. Sometimes it's as simple as that. It's either half empty, half full. And you choose to see it half full and then realize I got to get some gas soon because we're realistic always, right? But shift, say, I will shift my perspective. All right, number eight. Know your anchor and support network. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. That is, in the presence of God. And then Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now watch this. So know your anchor. What anchors you? Well, Christ anchors us. We're also anchored in our families. Anchored in the sense of who we are in God. We know we are imago Dei. I'm anchored in that. I love myself as I love my neighbor. So we have certain anchors. But then there's a support network. We know about this too, that you know who to talk to. Nicole, when the accident happened, she called her mom. She called Stacy. What you call who else? Sean and who? Stacy, yeah. And your boss, yeah. So, you know, we all know who to call when you land on the ground, just got hit by something. You know what I'm saying? Who to call. You know who not to call. That's even more important sometimes. So know your support network, because there are people, you know, when you make a mistake even, you know who you can talk to about that, because there's some people who will never put you down. Because a friend loves at all times, not just the good times. Amen. Read this. I'm going to read this. Your values are your anchor and your true north. Again, talking about navigation. As they are what ground you. When times are tough, always go back to your anchor and make decisions based on those values. Second, have a support team of people who know you and who you trust. Go to these people for conversation, support, accountability, as they will help you hold true to your values. Amen. So I'll just say the next two, I'll just say number nine is embrace ambiguity. It is embrace uncertainty and let God just help you figure things out. Don't just throw your hands up. Just Lord, thank you. Help me get through this. It don't make sense now. Lord, you make sense to me. And then finally, number 10, know that the obstacle is the way. God said in Jeremiah 29, he said to his people, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. We've leaned that scripture many times, haven't we? But this phrase, obstacles away, is in fact a book title by a man named Ryan Holiday. It's a great book. I encourage you to get it. Ryan Holiday. The obstacle is the way. But the principle is simply this. What has blocked your path is now a path. What has blocked your path is now a path. We don't run from stuff. The things we encounter, God helps us. We either win or we learn. We don't lose. We win or we learn. And so that obstacle becomes a way. And so we don't assume that because there's change, it means crisis. We don't assume that what has hindered us is going to continue doing so, because we're operating, again, like Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So let's just understand, saints of God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us day by day, and allow him to encourage your heart. And thank God for your anchor, Jesus, for your support network, one another in Christ, and your dear friends and your parents and family and so forth, because you don't have to suffer. We do suffer, but we never suffer alone. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for giving us insight today. And just, Lord, some things to think about. Lord, some practical wisdom we can put into place and put into action. Thank you, Father God, for